This episode is brought to you by Kinnec. Kinnec helps small businesses connect with suppliers and get customized quotes for free. Learn more at kinnec.com/heritage.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you some.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
And, man, we're moving right into fall. We've had so many. It's been really cool this past month. We've had
book month.
It's been book month on The Speakeasy, which is
not over yet. We got one more after this.
I know, man.
Jack Gregory is going to be here next week.
I know. Well, that's going to be really cool to have him back in the studio.
Yeah.
We've had Robert Simonson. We've had Brad Thomas Parsons. It's been like a revolving door of our very talented writer buddies coming through the studio. And
today's no different.
Today we have the very talented Kara Newman. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Author of the new book Shakespeare Sip.
And more than 50 effortless cocktails made in equal parts.
Yeah, that's the hook on this book, right? Equal parts cocktails.
Right. Everything's made in exactly equal proportions. Every
that's
last
amazing.
Drink.
That's amazing.
So how many bottles can you hold at the same time to dump into a glass? Like, what's your limit?
I've actually never tried that. I leave that to the masters.
Because I know, like, old school American. It would be like the Long Island iced tea. You see bartenders picking up five bottles and dumping them into a glass, you know, not measuring, and then throwing in their sour mix and Coke and stuff like that. I'm assuming the Long Island iced tea is not in this book.
It's not.
Okay, it didn't make the cut.
But I guess
they buried it at Tails a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh man, I guess as long as you're pouring those bottles all at the same rate, it's going to be equal parts. So why not?
Yeah, why not? I guess that would be like seven bottles, right?
Oof.
Jesus.
Some big hands.
I can do five.
I think I could probably do five.
Like two in each hand, and then kind of like put one in between. I could do it. So the inspiration for this book. Why don't you tell us about it? I mean, like, I think it's obvious, but I want to hear it from you.
I just thought that it was a genre of cocktails that really hadn't been brought to the home bartender. It's one of those drinks that everyone seems to know in the bartending industry. Everyone knows the Negroni and the Last Word. But I don't think a lot of home bartenders realize that there's this category of drinks made in equal proportions. And it's just, it's easy to execute. And I didn't invent the category, but I did manage to sweep them all together into a collection.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't know, like, you probably feel the same way. It's like, to me, you know, we kind of, like, as bartenders, we tend to challenge ourselves with different types of drinks. Like, for instance, like, most notably, you know, like, beer cocktails. Beer cocktails are challenging.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have to adapt for, you know, like, for instance, your sugar levels, like, for whatever, like, the cocktail part of it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, like, go a little bit heavier with your sweetener, enrichener, whatever you want to call it, to
balance it out,
right? So, like, another one is, like, making, like, a perfect equal parts drink. It's always been a thing.
I've always called them, how we refer to them in the house at Amore anyway, we call them Zen cocktails. Like, when we say, oh, it's these items, and we say it's a Zen cocktail, and everybody in the house knows what that means. They're like, oh, it's all those items in equal portions. And I think Bobby, you mentioned Bobby in the book, right? He calls them
Equinox cocktails.
Equinox cocktails. I think that's pretty genius as well.
Like, nice. Equal parts day and night.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, they are a challenge. And we have a few on the menu at Amore Margo, and you feature one of them here in the book, the Sharpie Mustache, made by Chris Elford.
Love that drink.
Yeah, everyone does. It's been on the menu at Amore for three of our 5.5 years. That's amazing. The team at Amore, we vote. Each menu change, the team votes on what stays and goes, and that one just continues to march forward. So it's great to be in the book. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It doesn't hurt that you serve them in those cute little bottles with the mustache stickers on the bottles.
Adorable.
It's a crowd pleaser. Yeah. And it's a really good drink.
It is. Yeah, it's super well balanced. You know, we run it down for you real fast. It's equal parts of London Dry Gin, rye whiskey, Bonal, which is a gentian and quinine wine, and then Maletti Amaro, which is kola nut Amaro, with just a couple of dashes of tiki bitters, which gives it this like really leathery island spice kind of vibe. And it's fair to mention that, too. These are equal parts cocktails, but they do have little bits of augmentation here and there. Bitters, splashed soda, et cetera, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't just be all equal parts with the bitters.
Well, I mean, unless you're doing something like a Trinidad
special or something. Right?
But, yeah, so, like, I think especially for our listeners and especially for, like, the home bartenders out there, I mean, the Negroni... And like you mentioned, the Negroni in the last word are the most notable, just kind of like the first ones you can think of that are your go-to 3 and 4 part, equal part cocktails.
Bijou.
Corpse Survivor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
Totally. Wow. Yeah, but I think the most, like, the most, like, customizable one would be the Negroni, right? I mean, like, because if you, you know, it's spirit, bitter, and vermouth. So as long as you are swapping out one for like an equal category, like, remember, you know, like,
sure, swap a spirit for a spirit, swap a fortified wine for a fortified wine.
Did you find a lot of that happening when you were doing the research for this book, like as far as like the house cocktails that you put in the book and like that you tried with?
There were a ton of Negroni and Negroni variations. Actually, one of my favorites was Lynette Marrero's. We called it the Toffee Negroni. It's an aged rum drink. So, you know, the spirit becomes aged rum. There's Amontillado sherry for the fortified wine. And then Aperol then takes the place of the aperitif. And it's just a lovely drink. And it's a Negroni, but it's not a Negroni.
Yeah. A no-groni. A not-groni.
There are just so many. I think one of the big challenges in putting the book together was not having the Negroni or the bitter, boozy, stirred category dominate the entire book. I had to find some that also had some juices, had more of like a spring or summer feel, had maybe like a bubbly, more refreshing profile. There are just so many boozy and bitters, and I love that style. I mean, Southern's built a whole bar around it. But, you know, there's more to that when you're trying to build a book.
Where did you get to travel to?
Did you run around and talk to all these folks, or did you just reach out via the internet or whatever?
Kind of a mix. A lot of people from around here that I already knew contributed ideas. There are other people I've known from other interviews. In some cases, I've managed to visit a bar. But it's just a lot of kind of like pulling it all together. I have to admit, I had a very short time frame to put it all together. So it was a lot of, you know, reaching out to people I knew and saying, hey, you got something to contribute? I would love to.
Yeah, you know, I remember getting mine in right away. How about you, Damon?
I missed the deadline.
It is still one of the great tragedies of my life that I don't have your recipes in there.
There would have been 50 more cocktails in this book if I'd made that 100. Deadline.
This is one of your things. I mean, don't you? You have a ton of equal parts drinks, don't you?
I have a ton. So much so that my ex-girlfriend actually started an LLC called Equal Parts LLC.
No. Yeah. Really?
Seriously.
I had no idea.
It's like a big deal for me. Yeah. And I was so bummed that I missed the deadline.
Oh, my God. Volume 2.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think of, like, one of the... Like, the modern spins on a classic equal parts cocktail would be, like, Phil Ward's, like, The Final Ward, which is a rye-based. It's rye and lemon and green chartreuse and maraschino. Like,
exactly, yeah. So, like, it's a last word.
It's, yeah, it's one of the last word variations.
Using those templates.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's funny. It's...
Which I think is, like, we're a little bit, we're pulling back the curtain here for the home user, and we're revealing, you know, the... I don't know, what is this, a trade secret? I don't like secrets. It's but you know, like, yeah.
Well, actually,
we're shaking off a little bit of the mystery, which I like. I want the consumer to have a better idea of what's going on in how we put things together for them in the glass.
Yeah. I mean, when Phil, speaking of Phil Ward, when he was on the show.
But we all work by templates.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tell people 1,000 times a day, at Amore Margo, we make 3 drinks. Old-fashioned Manhattan Negroni, and untold variations on those drinks. But every drink we put out is one of those.
Yeah.
And I do it every day, day in, day out.
Because you don't do sours. Because you don't have juice.
Exactly. We don't do any. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Phil Ward, when he was on the show, actually, a couple of years ago, a few years ago, whatever. I've been doing the show for a long time. he said it was like using these templates, like, and playing like Mr. Potato Head, you know?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You put a nose in.
Plug and play.
Yeah, it's like, put an eye in, for a different eye, you know? It's like, it's, you can use these templates.
Put a foot for an ear, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens, man. But yeah, I mean, like, it's funny you should mention that, like, you know, you've got your templates, like your Manhattan / martini.
I think it's, yeah, I think a martini is a Manhattan. Manhattan came first.
Sure.
Beer, vermouth, bitters.
Yeah, and then you've got, like, your Negroni, your equal parts drink. You've got your Old Fashioned or Sazerac or whatever, you know, Latin Quarter, whatever you want to call it. But it's that template. So you mentioned, Kara, that you were researching some of the, like, sour drinks. What are some that you kind of came across that were, that kind of stood out? Like, now, we talked a little bit about, like, the Negroni kind of, like, spirit for spirit, but let's talk about, like, for instance, like a Last Word or maybe even a five-parter.
Ooh, yeah. Let's get deeper.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So the book's just, I'm looking real fast. The book's just separated
We should mention that too. Like, what's cool about this book is that it's separated by, it goes from two equal parts to three to four to five, which I think is really cool. You know, like,
I never found six or seven.
Really?
It's because I didn't make the deadline.
Oh, man.
Volume two.
I want to hear about your six part, seven part equal parts strength. I really, really do.
It's too provocative for radio.
Well, I mean, you know, not for nothing, the eight Amaro Sazerac at Amori Amargo is equal parts of eight different Amari.
This is warming my heart.
With two different bitters and a glass rinse with chartreuse. So
that's Jesus. Awesome.
That's a monster. That's Meyer Savaro.
Wow.
It's been on the menu since the day we opened.
I love it. I mean, if you want to talk about the Last Word, I mean, one of the things that I love about the Last Word is how it just sort of, it evolves into so many other drinks as well. I feel like the Paper Plane is maybe the most successful example, and that's one of my favorite drinks of all time, equal parts or not.
Yeah.
And that one is equal parts bourbon.
Aperol, lemon, and...
Jeez, Amaro.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Amaro Nonino.
Oh,
yeah.
Nonino, yes.
Yes. And that,
boom,
that's...
still got it.
Still got it.
Thank you. And that's Sam Ross's drink, and it's wonderful. And I was just traveling in Savannah, and I saw it evolve yet again at a bar called Cotton and Rye. They had a version with local spirits, and instead of Aperol, it was a Leopold aperitif. And instead of Aperol, it was Leopold aperitif. And instead of the Amaro Nonino, it was High Wire Southern Amaro.
Oh yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
and it tasted totally different, but it was wonderful.
Plug and play, man.
Yeah,
plug and play. Don't be afraid.
I like this. I like the fact that you have this rum punch in here from Don the Beachcomber, from his. First of all, everyone knows that I love iced tea, so like having this in here is like really cool, and it's a five parter. Actually, one, two, three.
He's counting. He's checking seven. My facts.
There are actually seven parts in this one.
All right.
But you listed it as five, above, but there's actually seven. It's amazing.
what are the extra pieces, though? They're, in the book, you can have equal parts and then a splash of bitters or a splash of
this
soda.
This is 1 ounce of each. This is 1 ounce dark rum, 1 ounce golden rum, 1 ounce black iced tea, 1 ounce lime juice, 1 ounce mango juice, 1 ounce pomegranate juice, 1 ounce simple syrup.
There it is.
You did it.
I did it. I'm hoping in the back of my mind I made that chapter into five or more.
I think you did.
Okay. Yeah. My editor won't shoot me. Okay.
You know what? Let's take a quick break.
Five equal parts and more. It says.
And more. Yeah. Let's take a quick break and make
an equal parts drink.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. We'll be back in just a moment with Carrie Newton.
Kinnec helps small businesses connect with suppliers online and get customized quotes for free. From research to purchase, we've helped thousands of craft producers find the best prices and suppliers for their business. Browse research, purchasing guides, or equipment and supplier reviews. Request and compare quotes from multiple suppliers in one place.
store your conversations online, and purchase with confidence. Kinect is here to help you manage purchasing the easy way. Supplier? Kinect can help you connect with customers at the push of a button. It's the perfect solution, whether you're looking to scale or get a new product off the ground. See how our marketplace can help your business grow today. Buy or sell smarter on Kinect. It's purchasing made painless. To learn more, visit us at kinect.com/heritage. That's kinnek.com/heritage.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and in the studio today we have Kara Newman, who just put out this book, Shake, Stir, Sip, More Than 50 Effortless Cocktails Made in Equal Parts, which just hit its second printing.
In a week.
That's crazy.
That's undoable. Unheard of.
Yeah, that's...
It is. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. I just imagine, like...
I'd be bouncing off the walls.
Like some of your family members with stacks of your book. Like they just like bought like...
Let's just go buy...
like 100 copies
sweep
each.
Sweep out Barnes & Noble or whatever.
That's great. Congratulations.
That's amazing.
We've been talking in the first half of the show about equal parts drinks and how cool of a concept they are. But there's one that, you know, we kind of talked a little bit of shit on the Long Island Iced Tea, but... as far as like a true classic cocktail goes, that's equal parts. Man, I've just never been able to get in the blood and sand.
It's the worst.
It's so like,
flabby.
It's flabby. It's like one of those things where, you know, like they're like, oh, like I kind of imagine them being in a room like in their stock room, being like, oh, well, we got a ton of scotch and we got a ton of cherry herring and ton of orange juice.
Well, I mean,
like what happened with the Moscow Mule. They're like, got this ginger beer and we got this vodka. I don't know. Fucking mix them together.
Yeah, right.
Boom. Millions.
You got a nice cup to put it in?
It didn't work with the blood and sand so much. But it was a popular drink for a while.
I think it's worth noting that the blood and sand has a history. You know, it was named after a movie of the same name, a silent film.
The Rudy Valentino film.
Yeah, Valentino. So that certainly gave it some strength. And then, you know, you rarely find that blood and sand made the original way, which was with blood orange juice, which is definitely sharper acidity than just traditional orange juice. But orange juice cocktails, as we've talked about on the show, I think before, just fall flat all the time. We fixed that problem at Booker and Dex. We acid adjusted orange juice to have the same acidity as lime juice, but you can't do that at every bar.
Yeah,
I feel like the orange juice is part of the problem. I mean, I've talked with bartenders, and some people say you just can't work with orange juice. The Ward 8 has the same problem.
Yeah,
And some people say it's the proportions, that it's just out of balance as equal parts. I just think it's the worst equal parts drink there is.
Yeah.
Not in the book, with good reason.
The authority on equal parts cocktails just laid down the law on the fucking blood and sand.
But you both agree.
So let's put that shit to bed. No, I agree. I'm just letting the listener know that now it's law.
I think it's okay to be opinionated about classic cocktails that don't work. I mean, I'm sure you've spotted, both of you have spotted this, as have I, like in our travels, you know, like, every once in a while, you go into a bar in another city, or just wherever, and they'll have a blood and sand on the menu, and it's like,
A for effort. Way to research and dig. But then, did you taste it? Like, it doesn't, like, really, it sounds great.
Do you really like this? Do you?
Yeah.
No. I don't think you do. Yeah. I mean, and it's actually, it's kind of unfortunate, because, like, in the true spirit of, like, an equal parts cocktail, where you can kind of plug and play, I feel like there's
not a lot of room to wiggle.
I think you can get creative with it. I think swapping out the cherry herring for another like liqueur is the first step. I'm not saying anything.
99 bananas.
I mean, scotch and bananas go really well together. And orange juice. I mean,
it's breakfast.
Now it's like a dull like fruit mixer kind of thing. But I mean, no. I mean, like, we actually have a scotch and banana cocktail on our menu right now at Grand Army. You know, like,
innovators.
It doesn't have orange juice in it. But I mean, like, man, I've had a hard time working with orange juice in cocktails. Like, I had one. I was always like anti orange juice in cocktails until I did one with like Tennessee whiskey and Becherovka and lemon and orange and ginger and Hefeweizen. And it, like, but it was working.
Like, you're having to build around that orange juice.
No. Yeah, I mean,
it was pulling back
from the, like, it was basically like coming off of like the, it was Allagash White, and you know, like with a like a Belgian wit beer, you've got like orange peel and clove and that kind of stuff. So it was like it made sense in the drink, but like other than that, I've never put a cocktail together with orange juice in it ever.
Screwdriver.
I mean, I don't drink vodka.
Does no favor for the orange juice or the vodka.
Yeah.
Drink them separate.
Yeah. Yeah, man. And you know what? Separate. Like, okay. We digress.
Karen Newman's here with us.
I think the sidecar has similar issues, too. An equal parts sidecar is just, it just doesn't work for me either. I don't know how you work with that at your bars.
I don't do equal parts on the sidecar.
No.
No way, man.
I don't do sidecars.
Well, you don't. I make them.
I love being the devil's advocate always.
I know.
Screw juice. Get it out of here.
So you're more in the like two-part section of the book.
Frankly, is there a one-part section? That's really my zone.
That really is.
I need to write that book.
So
we call that whiskey.
Yeah.
Or a Amaro.
Well, if you like, we have a
You brought something for us.
I brought a little something to try.
I'm going
to
pour it right now.
It's kind
okay,
of
cool.
It's kind of evil green. You might want to give it a little shake for you.
Sure. What are we having?
It's called the Disco Ball.
It's in the book.
It is.
Oh, it smells like chartreuse.
It should. It's equal parts green chartreuse and yellow chartreuse and mezcal.
Oh wow!
Which sounds really weird, but it's actually. I enjoy it very much.
There's nothing.
We drink this.
Any of those things?
How's it served? Up, rocks?
It's usually done as a shot.
This is a shot.
They have it on tap at Grain and Grapes in.
I'm pouring you one, Pierre.
In Jacksonville, Florida. And I couldn't believe it when I saw it. And I was like, okay, I have to have this for the book.
They have it on tap in North Carolina?
In Florida, Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, sorry, Florida. I was pouring, not listening.
It says, from the book.
It's all about priorities.
Read from the book.
Quote, it's a shot, not a cocktail, end quote, explains Ford Roberts of the Grape and Grain Exchange in Jacksonville, Florida, who first brought this drink to my attention. Although Grape and Grain pulls it from the tap, that's cool. This is easy enough to stir multiple portions in a mixing glass and then pour around for friends.
Or make a big bottle of it and haul it around with you like this.
Bring it to the studio.
This is awesome.
This is... heck of a way to start the day, guys.
Disco ball.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I mean, I always love, you know what's cool about this? First of all, I'm going to take a sip.
Sorry, I didn't sip. I drank it all.
It might do with a little bit of
peppery.
Ice in it. Mezcal.
Yeah, that's delicious.
Mezcal and chartreuse.
Which mezcal did you use?
El Bujo.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, that's really good.
I have a lot of customers who come in and order
chartreuse is my guilty pleasure
with mezcal all the time.
Yeah,
some of my like very like regular customers come in. They love last words, but they're like, you know what? Let's take this to the next level. You know,
that is kind of what this is like, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Minus the citrusy nature.
So
yeah.
You could have this at Amore Amargo.
I could have this at Amore Amargo. I'm about to.
On tap.
Disco ball on tap. There it is in the book. Oh,
I like
gosh.
The way it sort of glows.
Yeah. Well, chartreuse, it's a hell of a drug.
Chartreuse is my guilty pleasure. Chartreuse is my day drinking. Nobody drinks in the daytime. Drink responsibly. There's a spot right over next to my bar called the Tile Bar. It doesn't even have its own name. It's just got a bunch of tiles, so it's called the Tile Bar. You know this place, right?
Yeah, I thought it was called...
Does it have a name? I don't know it.
It has a name, but everyone calls it the Tile Bar.
I don't...
Which I think is awesome.
I don't know that I've ever seen its name anywhere.
They probably don't...
It's cash only, so it's not like I'm getting a receipt or anything.
But at the Tile Bar,
they serve... they have chartreuse... It's just a joint dive bar, which I love. I'm a high proponent of dive bars. And they serve chartreuse. I don't think they really know exactly what it is, but it's always on their bar. So they're reordering it because I know that I go there and my contingency goes there as well. You get a rocks glass damn near full of chartreuse for $7.
What are you doing after this?
Going to the Tile Bar. So we we roll in there. It's High Life's Frosty Cold in the bottle. And 2.5 ounces of chartreuse for like $11. And that
chartreuse
stuff for me,
is not
it's
cheap,
like,
man.
It, no, exactly. That's the thing. These guys obviously don't know what they've got, but they've been doing it. I've been going there for years. Years. Same price. Years.
Wow.
Don't tell the guys at Pouring Ribbons.
Yeah, well, that's probably where Troy gets his supply. He just rolls over there and orders chartreuse
and
as a funnel. He's a funnel down beside him, running down his pants leg.
That's amazing. So,
but this is delicious.
Yeah. Kudos.
Pierre, I'll drink yours too. Sorry.
I think I think I've got my new like house shot. I mean, like we're always like doing like CIAs or like hard starts and things like that. Like
well, CIA, that's Tony Guffey. Hard start, that's you, right?
Yeah,
that's
didn't make it to the book.
well, you saw Brad's book on Amaro.
It's in Brad's book.
He's got a whole section on these 50-50 shots. I just saw it's like, oh, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's also in Robert Simons' book.
Look at you, fancy pants.
Just hard start, making his way around the world.
Yes.
Yeah. But
you want to tell what that is?
We never.
The hard start, by the way, is
equal parts Fernet and Bronco Menta. But
nice bartender's handshake.
Yeah, it's more like a bartender hug. We don't shake hands; we hug.
It's a high five wrapped in a hug.
But yeah, we never like you know when we're doing staff shots. It's like all right, now we're gonna do a three parter. This is cool.
This is delicious.
Yeah,
it's curious to me how these get started and get around, you know, like
yeah.
I love the hard start. I love the CIA. I love the CIA so much. I stretched it and made it into a cocktail.
Have you had a what's it called, the Newport?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the Newport?
Newport is Bronco Menta and Mezcal, so it's smoky and minty like a Newport cigarette.
Oh my!
Was that Meehan? Who did that one?
I don't know.
I feel like the first time I had that was at PDT.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever done a shot at PDT.
Oh, that's all I do there. I drink the same wherever I go. It doesn't matter.
This would be like a personality test. You know, what's your go-to when you're at PDT?
American whiskey and the Pilsneriest beer on tap. That's what I get every time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, it's my neighbor bar, so I go there most of the time when they're closed and or closing, so
yeah.
I'm not trying to
right
not trying not, to dance around the menu and make Jeff Bell or whoever's behind the bar work too hard.
You're not trying to have a
I'm not looking for the PDT ham. experience. I'm just in there to
like
shake the dust off
popcorn rum or Bitten's ham infused whiskey.
I had my first one of those when they did the PDT reunion tour at Boilermaker.
Oh yeah, I didn't get to make it by there.
Oh my god, it was so much fun.
What's your go-to drink here?
Yeah, which one of these in this book do you I mean, you brought us this one.
I'm gonna have some more.
Yeah. You guys are going slow.
I mean, it depends what I have on hand. I mean, probably out of the...
That's the best answer, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably wind up being a Negroni if I'm at home, because I'll just go for whatever is simpler. I mean, actually, speaking of this book and speaking of PDT, I mean, not to bash PDT. Love PDT.
Bash them.
Fuck them. So much respect for
love
Jimmy.
Those guys.
No.
Love
those guys. But I was also thinking about this book in relation to the PDT book. And I remember when it first came out, a reporter at the New York Times literally made all the drinks in the book or tried to.
Wow.
A reporter living out in Westchester.
Oh, yeah. There was they had a blog about it.
Oh, it was like that guy who did the Savoy book years ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
totally
cool. I should look that up.
And the reporter concluded that you couldn't possibly make all of the drinks in the PDT book because it was just too complicated and involved too many esoteric ingredients. And I was trying to think of this as being like the anti-PDT book. In a way.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. PDT, you have to make, there are sub recipes. You have to make something
right
that goes in the drink before you can make the drink. I get that.
And I have no sub recipes, no infusions.
I'm totally okay with that.
No simple syrups except for the regular simple syrup.
Sure. Right. I'm totally okay with that. Like, I often feel like we buy these books, like the PDT book. Let's flip the switch and go back to the food world, which is where I, you know, half my mind lives. Like, you know, we buy like the Per Se book, Tom Keller. No one's going home and trying to make all that stuff. It's really beautiful. It's cool
inspiring
to have that information, and it's inspiring. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
So if you've got those books, you go look at them and you go, oh my God, that sounds amazing. What can I do that's within my parameters, within my skill set,
sure,
that I can get as close and I can entertain my friends and family and have a good time? And in our case, not just get full, but get nice buzz on.
But I do feel like there's a place for all these like really crazy aspirational drinks, and unless you're in the mood for a project, I feel like that place is in a bar. It's not in my
I totally
my
agree.
Home.
I mean, yeah. Listen, people come to Amore all the time, and granted, again, my drinks are all ridiculously simple, and we are 100% willing to give anybody any recipe at any time. We'll write it down for you. But people come in all the time. And they say, "Wow, why is your honestly simple as a Negroni? Why is your Negroni so much better than my Negroni?" And my answer always is the same: because I do the dishes. Right? Like, I'm going to make the drink and then I'm going to clean up. Like, you just got to sit there and enjoy. That's why mine's better.
It's about the experience.
Yeah, man.
It's all about what's going on in this room.
Food to me always tastes better when someone else
is cooking. Oh, God, of course. I don't care what it is. And SpaghettiOs, way better than whatever I was going to make. If you made it for me and brought it to me.
Yeah, man.
And cleaned up after. Like, that's it. That's
exactly, man.
Did you do the dishes?
But what's cool about, what I think it's really cool about this book, and it's a, I mean, like, it's, we haven't, I just want to say that we haven't given away the entirety of the book by talking about it on the radio. So there's plenty of information here. So definitely go buy the book. It's out on from Chronicle Books. It's called Shake, Stir, Sip. But what's cool about it and what we were just talking about is that it's not like a lot of books that come out on the subject of cocktails and food
are lofty, overcomplicated.
Well, but they're also, they tend to sway to like one direction or the other. Like, they're either for industry people or for the home bartender. And this one is really great because it's kind of like a boomerang in a book, you know? Like, I mean, it really, I'm serious, you know? Because
like
it's like there's modern drinks, there's classic drinks, and they're all equal parts, easy to bang out. And you know, like for the modern cocktail recipes that are in here that belong to different bartenders around the world, it's kind of like, all right, here you go. Like, this is like we're sharing this drink
it's
right now.
It's easy to see why it's already in its second printing.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's easy to see why I'm already on my second cocktail.
What? Where's mine?
Your glass is way over there. We gotta get a smaller studio.
I don't even think that's possible. But yeah, you know, I mean that as a compliment, by the way.
Thank you. No, thank you.
I think it's really
you too. We don't have to compliment you. You're in your second printing in less than 2 weeks. What was it? Less than 1 week?
Less than a week.
She says
so
timidly.
You're buying lunch, right?
She says timidly. Less than a week. That's amazing. I don't know what that means, frankly, though. But I mean, how many copies does that mean?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I know however many were printed, they are now all at retailers,
they're allocated,
online
they're
retailers.
Out there.
They're no more in the warehouse, and that makes my writer heart very happy.
Yeah, awesome. Good
and
for you.
And there are more coming.
Speaking of
I'm
your
sure
writer
Chronicle
heart.
Chronicle Books is pretty happy about that, too.
Yeah, no shit. Speaking of your writer heart, let's bounce backwards one, because this isn't your first book. It's not your first rodeo.
No.
And you mentioned, I saw it just briefly somewhere in here, that you mentioned the other book. Which was
Cocktails for a Crowd was the previous book, and that's all big batch recipes, punches, pitchers, also home friendly recipes.
Punches, pitchers, like it.
And bottled cocktails, like bottled Negronis.
I think the bottled cocktail is the wave of the future.
Yeah, I mean, well,
and you just rolled in here with this bottle, and we're
the bottle.
We're about a third
bottle
of the way through with what you brought already, mostly due to my muscle.
It's gonna be a rough night at work.
I gotta go straight there from here. Actually,
you got a pregame.
Yeah. But, thank you for saying that. Thank you for for justifying this. But you know, like our buddy Tristan Willie, he always has either a bottled Manhattan or a bottled Negroni at home. And you were talking about like making like a Negroni for yourself at home, depending on what you have at home. You know, it dictates what you can make. But like he always, from what I understand, always has like a bottled cocktail at home. So that way, like whenever he gets home from work or
it's
whatever
no,
he's doing,
no thought involved. Just boom. I love that. That's a great idea. I'm gonna fucking adopt that.
I feel like it's the wave of the future too, because I'm starting to see even more commercial brands. I mean, we've seen cans of Rock and Rye. We've seen
that can of Rock and Rye is delicious.
We've seen bottled cocktails from bartenders and commercial brands and.
Yeah, Aaron Polsky did that little.
We did
thing before he left New York.
We were working on something together, but what we did, we made a bottled Negroni as a gummy. Remember the you know the Haribo like whatever the gummy
bears.
Like the little Coke bottles
yeah
we found the mold for that and we actually with Meyer
get out of here
we made a gummy bottled Negroni and it was like this tongue in cheek thing. It was right when everyone was starting to do like bottled cocktails, bottled Negronis and stuff like that. So we're like, we're gonna make the Negroni an actual bottle that
you can eat
and you can it's an edible alcohol.
How much was in it?
we didn't have a hydrometer, so like
I mean, Meyer was on the case though. That guy's super smart.
Oh yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But yeah, I mean, like going to the beach, going camping, you know, like if you want to have a cocktail, bottle that shit up.
Yeah.
Listen, you know,
it'd be a lot better if it's equal parts.
If you could put together an equal parts cocktail into a bottle with or without juice, that's just on hand for you to sip on as you're, I got home from work, this is what I'm having after, you know, my 9-to-5 job, or I got home from work after my bar job. Eliminate that, like, 2 to 5 minutes of, you know, wonder of what you're going to make and just have something ready to pour. I think that's a brilliant idea.
What would yours be?
I mean, overwhelmingly, it would probably be an old fashioned.
Yeah?
Which is a weird one to bottle, but I've bottled them before. We used to bottle them at Rye. We did a six old fashions in a bottle that we sold.
Bottle service?
Bottle service, baby.
Nice.
What would yours be, Damon?
What would yours be, Kara?
Jeez.
Negroni.
Oh, you already said the Negroni.
Negroni.
Classic.
I'd probably go with like a De La Louisiane.
Ooh, fancy.
Oh, that's a good choice,
like
too.
Yeah. Kind of like Vicaray-ish.
Yeah.
You know, I love that shit.
I gotta tell you, man.
But now, the more I drink this disco ball, I'm kind of changing my mind. I'm being swayed into this direction.
This is really... Where was this again? Florida?
Yeah,
I'm from Florida. Thank you, Florida. Jack's Beach.
It wouldn't be bad with a little ice in there, too.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, sure.
Throw some in mine.
Do it. I'm going to drink it like it is. It's fine with me.
Yeah, I'm cool with this, too.
I love the sort of, you know...
I make a mess.
It's okay. It's not the first drink that's been spilled here.
Yeah, right. No one sees what we do here.
So, Kara, are you going to be on a book tour? Like, what are your plans?
Well, just before the show started, Kara and I are trying to hammer out a date. It looks like, and this is tentative, but 16 October, you might be at Amore Amargo signing this book. That'd be great, which is a Sunday. No hours or whatever yet, but we'll figure it out. But that date is looking clear. I'm going to have to clear that with everybody at the building to make sure.
Excellent.
So there's that. What else you got?
I'll also be in D.C. and Boston, kind of locking down some last details. But, yeah, I'll be out and about.
And you're going to be practicing your, like, five-bottle pickup?
I will not. But I will be practicing my bottled cocktails and maybe my two-bottle pour, perhaps. That's about all I can handle.
Well, I...
Got to leave something for the pros.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere.
There are reasons to go to bars.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
We do the dishes.
Yeah, we do the dishes. Kara, it's been a while since I've seen you, and it's really great to see you, and congratulations on the book. It seems...
Crushing it.
Like you're just killing it right now. And thanks for being here.
Yeah.
My pleasure.
Cheers. All right.
Thank you. Cheers.
Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out Shake, Stir, Sip on Chronicle Books from Kara Newman. It's a really cool book. Lots of cool information in there. And really just fun.
Yeah.
Just fun. Fun. Drink making.
I mean, what makes drinking more fun than making the drinks easier to make?
Dude, if you can...
Take the problems out of the thing and create a solution.
If you can go onto the roof with, like, a couple bottles and, like, just pour them, like, into your buddy's mouth.
Like, pour-on style?
You're going to see Dave with his arms, like, raised up.
Dude, yeah. That's, I mean, like, how fun is that?
That's awesome.
It's really cool. We're being very mature right now. anyway, check out the book. Check out also the other shows on Heritage Radio Network. There's so many other fun shows just like this one. Although I think we probably have the most fun,
right? We got
right?
the most fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next week. First of all, thanks again, Kara. Till next week, I'm Damon Boldy.
My name is Souther Teague.
And this is The Speakeasy. Cheers, y'all.
Cheers, guys.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in that rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the air.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.